mean, at a certain point, it's tough to tell somebody else's story. You know, I can't really write well for gay people because I'm not gay. I'm bi-curious at best, you know? So you can't get that real honesty that comes from somebody that knows what it's like to have somebody else's dick in their mouth. The more I think about it, though, I could write really well for lesbians. Because I know that world, you know? I know what it look at me. I love to eat. Nice reaction, but it didn't sound anything like the fucking Twilight panel clip I watched. Man. Anybody watching Twilight? Was anybody here for Twilight? Were you here? All right, shut up. No, stop. Come on. That's the next generation. That's the next generation of fans. That's what I love about a comic book convention. People will come to a convention, stand there in a fucking Spock costume, look at somebody in a Chewy costume, and be like, look at that fucking geek. You pass judgment on those 12-year-old girls who like vampires. They need to be encouraged because in 6 years, they'll be 18-year-old girls who like vampires. And are all sorts of goth permissive and whatnot. So don't poo-poo it. There's a plan and it's working.
Have tuned in to yet another exciting episode of The Action Room! Woo! And this episode features the results from the 2009 San Diego Comic-Con! Woo!
The results?
The results of producer Mike's trip to the San Diego Comic-Con.
That kind of reminds me of, do you remember Punch-Out? You know, now they have a new Punch-Out, but the
yes,
ladies and gentlemen,
play the glass Joe, Piston Hurricane,
and then Bald Bull, and for the NES fans, it was the Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, old '80s video game reference for you there. Fans.
Well,
but there was the NES.
Yeah.
Who else? Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull.
I can't. Quick.
Quicksilver Jones.
Thick Quick, or I don't know.
And then I love Knock Him Out.
Uppercut.
Body blow. Left. Uppercut. Right.
Okay.
Body blow.
You've done a good job at
doing
the sound effects for the you didn't get Futurama, but you got the
Someone hire me to recreate Punch Out, please. Yes, Futurama, by the way, I did see an article last show. We talked about the fact that they are threatening to recast.
Not Glass Joe, but Last Show.
Took auditions. Glass Joe on the Last Show. Apparently they are still in dispute with the Futurama actors, and they are still saying that they will go through with recasting. I personally don't believe it.
And so they
even
weren't,
even though my audition was in the top 35 percentile.
They weren't on the panel for the Futurama.
They abstained from the panel San Diego Comic-Con.
The thing is, though, I saw some of the clip. By the way, so I went to the Comic-Con, and
producer
we'll talk
Mike
about that.
Mike went there. We have a story to tell.
I have seen clips, and they literally had a panel everything that's out there.
Yeah.
They had one for Twilight, for, you know, True Blood, for Iron Man, for, I mean, every celebrity that's to have, which is basically
it
every celebrity.
It has a movie coming out in the next 9 months.
Is connected to some kind of show. Even I saw one for Diablo Cody and Megan Fox for the Body movie.
Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
Right.
It was amazing.
Some of which isn't even really geek related.
That's
but
what
it's
I'm
just
saying.
Hollywood.
It's becoming one of these things, and that's kind of the controversy.
It's
that
the Cannes Film Festival.
It's not even so much comics anymore as much as pop culture in general, other things.
As
you know?
Producer Mike joked last year, Comic Con. As in the Cannes Film Festival.
Right, exactly. And but you were talking about Futurama. I think I saw a clip where Billy West was on it, though. But maybe they kind of had to have him there on the panel.
Did he have a sign around his neck that said, F
you? but you think they'll definitely come through.
I just can't really see them following through on this threat to recast with people mimicking the voices.
Well, are they saying, do they have a date where they're starting, supposedly?
No. At least not that I know of.
That'd be so weird.
Well, I wonder if you went on IMDb.com if there'd be a date, but
yeah, I should check the IMDb Pro. That'll have all the info.
Oh yes, the pre-production Pro.
Speaking of searching and stuff, now I remember we had a little contest about Google.
Good segue.
And and we said like, oh, will it last? The whole where they put the Jim Lee version and
yes.
stuff. And
it was off the next day.
I was going to say
it was on for the first half of the second day of
right,
the con.
Right, we both lost the contest. So
well, that's right. Yeah, what did we bet each other?
Like a
Sour
cupcake,
Patch Kids or a cupcake? Okay.
So okay,
and then they didn't even get a Marvel one in there.
Yeah, that, I guess they.
But they also had optional features that you could put your own customized one up there.
Oh really?
With indie characters.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I just wanted to say from last week's show is, you know, I was talking about 40th anniversaries.
Yes.
And, of course, I forgot the Woodstock is 40 anniversaries.
Woodstock.
The other one, the other thing I wanted to say, and because we were a little confused, that it's technically only 39 years, but it's 40 San Diego cons. The answer to that is there are literally 40 cons. It's been 39 years, but 40 cons. Does that make sense to you? If they started in 70,
yes.
you don't count the first one as 71. You count the first one as 70.
Yeah, that
so
makes
sense.
So
it's 40.
That's like when the millennium, people were like, the millennium is 2001, not 2000.
Right, right.
Technically.
But I didn't think that through until recently.
Worst
and then,
millennium ever.
The Mighty Boosh, by the way, I said the Big Boosh, and it was on Jimmy Kimmel. It was the Mighty Boosh, which is a UK sketch comedy show on Adult Swim,
okay.
and they were on Jimmy Fallon. So check that out. They're really funny.
The Mighty Boosh.
The Mighty Boosh. But yeah, let's get right into the Comic-Con. You tell me from a person who stayed in the city and did not take part in it,
right.
how did you feel?
Producer Mike has a story because he flew there and back in the span of a day and a half. I did not go to the con, and I read all the updates on Newsarama and Comic Book Resources and Ain't It Cool News. And whereas in the past, these websites, these comic and geek websites, the panel would go up, everyone would furiously type up summaries of who said what and what happened, and, you know, about a half hour later, they would post it from the newsroom. Now, some sites like Newsarama were posting live video coverage
wow.
as it happened. But for me, I'm so tired of like sitting watching 5-minute videos. I'm a busy man, you know. So I just wanted to read the text summaries.
But to be honest, you probably were actually more up on what was going on than I was.
Oh, yeah, because I read about everything.
You read about everything, but also, when I was there, I wasn't really able to experience much. You know, you're stuck in these crowds of geeks where you can't... And by the way, it's huge now. It's obviously bigger than it's ever been. I think 128,000. Oh, way bigger than New York. But bigger in my than the other cons in San Diego. You
right,
know, this is
right.
like the biggest year. And you know this because... There's less comics and more hot girls. I mean, more hot girls than ever before. More girls in general, but
yeah.
more hot girls.
Because they're there for the Hollywood celebrity thing.
Or just the experience. You know, it's an
yeah.
event over there in San
yeah.
Diego. It's just
yeah.
like, let me go to this thing. Everybody's
it's like going to see
it.
The running of the bulls.
It's pretty amazing.
In Pamplona.
The running of the nerds.
The running of the nerds. Look, the nerds in their natural habitat.
So what
stampeding.
What I basically did was, it was kind of insane because I didn't get much sleep in going there. I only went for one day, got
right.
there in the afternoon, left that night.
You left at 6 a.m.?
Yeah, left at 6 a.m. I got
or
there.
Tried
it was
to leave
a delay in Detroit, which was ridiculous.
Fucking Detroit.
And I got there at around like 2 in the afternoon. Then I only really went till 8 at night, and then I had to leave. So, but I got what I wanted to do. The biggest thing that I have to say, and it's kind of full circle, it was kind of a goal of ours, as the show is concerned, to get an ID from Attack of the Show. Everybody
on
involved
G4.
In Attack of the Show on G4.
Right.
Now, that would include Kevin Pereira, Olivia Munn, and a bonus was Blair Butler, who does the comic book section on
yes.
Attack of the Show. Now, what's interesting is we had a show...
About
an episode,
2 years ago.
Yeah.
yeah.
Where we tried to track... I did talk to her at
the New York Comic Con.
Tried to get her to do an ID, and she kind of... She didn't refuse so much as didn't think it was the right thing to do. There was a conflict of interest, or maybe she was just snubbing me. I don't
right,
know.
Right, right.
But... I was able to. I didn't even think I could get this. This was all last minute. I kind of just said, "Oh, could I get this ID?" And they were actually really nice about it. And what I noticed is I was like really the only press there to like cover
really?
Their signing. You know,
interesting.
They did their live coverage in the con, but then after that, they did a signing where they had probably the biggest, you know, group of people as far as all the signings
okay.
were. You know. And but I was able to just go right up, and Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn, really nice people, they did an ID, and Blair Butler happened to be there, and I don't think she remembered who I was, of course.
She just chimed in.
And she was part of the ID, too. So the ID is somewhat visual, but basically they're referencing a poster that they're signing, and they're saying, like, who's this? And they're
it's kind of a show poster.
A messy ID, you know, but you can hear Olivia Munn going, is Attack of the Show a person? Is it, you know, and they're
Is the Action Room a person? Yeah.
And so
yes, he is a person.
So, yeah, it kind of is. It's not really.
Let me introduce you to the Action Room. He's here in the studio. Hello, Action Room.
Hello.
So, all right, so let's play that. And you can also check it out on YouTube.
On our Action Room page.
Yeah, just if you're listening to this right now, just click on YouTube, and it'll be the main thing that pops up. Okay, so here it is.
What's up, everybody? I'm Kevin Pereira, and this is...
Olivia Munn.
You're watching the Action Room, aren't they, Olivia?
No, you're watching our panel now.
It's on the Action Room.
Our picture.
Okay.
Isn't that fun? Look at that.
That's all you're really going to get. You might want to...
Who is this guy? Who is this? That's who is this masked man? Is the Action Room a guy?
This is my life. Seriously, this is my life.
So
awesome.
I feel
now
like
Blair Butler doesn't identify herself; she just talks.
Right, and I feel like,
but she's on video.
Yeah, we have
and she does not remember that she snubbed us years ago.
Or maybe she does.
No, she doesn't. Yeah.
But she snubbed
so many people.
Yeah,
in
right.
Her time.
I'd like to say that was a big milestone for the Action.
Yeah,
the Action Someday
Run. We won't remember all the millions we snubbed.
I can't wait for that.
Unintentionally.
So the other quick thing I did was I promoted my comic just for fun. I handed out postcards for Hickey Chick, which is this comic I'm doing with my girlfriend.
Hickey-chick.com.
Very good. And that was pretty much it. The only other thing I caught...
Did you give out a lot of postcards?
You know, I was focusing on girls, you know, because that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, that's
so
the market.
I actually probably was able to hand out more than I would have ever before at any other con.
Because there were more girls.
But still not a huge amount. But it's okay. Right. Next year we're probably going to try to have a booth or try to, you know, get the comic done and give it out or whatever.
Right.
But for the most part we just had fun with it. But The only other
thing... Will the comic be like 23 pages or smaller?
Probably
or?
Something along those lines. Right, I don't know. We'll see. We have a year to finish.
Okay.
But check out the vlogs as we figure this out.
Vlogs. With a V.
And the only other thing I caught was a panel for Kevin Smith, because I really like him. And if whether you hate or love his movies, he is an amazing speaker.
He's a great speaker.
And
he's
so
funny.
It's basically like stand-up. You know, he working with the audience and his stories and everything. And so I watched that, and you should definitely...
Yeah, I've seen a lot of his clips on YouTube, and his speaking engagements are often much funnier than his movies.
Yeah, and he has a DVD, a two-DVD set of him at colleges and stuff. And so check that out on YouTube if you can. It's in parts of his panel or whatever you'd call it.
I think it's 11 parts.
Yeah, on
Kevin Smith at San Diego, 2009.
And he did. We opened with a clip of him talking about, which is very funny, where you'll have these, you know, groups of geeks who kind of alienate other geeks. And you know what? The one thing I just wanted to add, and I'll sorry for talking so much, Tony, here.
There's no Jessica. She's still in Italy.
Yeah, okay. So, but
you went to the car.
I think she came back today, but it'll be a week before she recovers.
She's tired.
What am I saying? Oh, what I wanted to say that was kind of funny in talking about alienating geeks, people that aren't geek enough. So I met up... Insufficiently geek. Yeah, kind of like... you know, you can't play sports, and now in this case, I can't play, you know, video games hard enough or something. But in the case of my Jason, who how would the Action Room know Jason?
Jason Liebig.
Yeah, he was on our show.
Jason Liebig. He was on the show early in the Action Room radio show's career. He's an old friend of Mike's.
Yeah, and so it was funny. He referenced Mark Singer. Now, would you know who
Mark
Singer is?
Yes, of course I know who Mark Singer
which
is
makes
for
me
two
feel
reasons.
Horrible. All right, before you say that. He totally made...
As a child of the 80s.
Right. And he made... Now, this is the first reference to 1982, and we actually have a lot of them today. Well, you'll see in the news. There's a lot of references to
1982. Tony has a quizzical look on his face.
So, anyway, Mark Singer, as I guess all of you know, he played Dar in The Beastmaster.
Of course, Mark Singer.
Okay. So, I don't know that. And he looked at me puzzled, and I
he slapped you and shamed you in front of the Comic-Con geeks.
I even call myself a geek, which
that's
I don't.
Right,
but
that's right.
But anyway, it's kind of funny because, you know, You say, you know, as you're in the locker room and the jocks beat you up because you can't play sports. In this case, I'm just not geek worthy.
You didn't know who Mark Singer was.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Now, can I throw in another Mark Singer reference?
Tell me, yes. How do you know
Mark Singer? The reason people know Mark Singer, A, the Beastmaster.
Right.
Which I don't even remember that much. Jason
I never saw that. Yeah.
I mean, I saw it on in the 80s on, like, TV one afternoon. It's a cheesy, like, Conan-type Tarzan fusion.
Right.
A little bit magical or whatever. Almost like Thundar the Barbarian.
Right, which I did love.
Thundar the Barbarian with Ookla the Mock. There is actually a rock band called Ookla the Mock.
Yep.
Anyway, so Mark Singer was in the Beastmaster. But even more people might know him because Mark Singer was one of the lead characters in the 80s The Science Fiction series, which is now being remade.
Gotcha.
Mark Singer was one of the heroes of V.
Okay, so...
And then he was in the TV series of V.
So how many points are docked from my geek status for not knowing who Mark Singer
25.
Is? 25. Yikes.
Also, Mark Singer, no one will know this who listens to this show. No one will know this on the planet. But Mark Singer was on some HBO drama about a blind guy called If You Could See What I Hear. That I remember watching when I was like in seventh grade.
Wow.
And I was like... It was like an ABC After School Special type movie.
Right.
But it was like the most dramatic. I was like, this movie is so touching. And
so was
he's
it,
blind and he has to accept and his woman loves him. And
was it a better version of Daredevil than Daredevil was?
Yes. And by the way, I will point out on a personal note.
Yeah.
So I'm like in fourth or fifth grade, maybe sixth grade, watching this movie, If You Could See What I Hear, a touching drama about a man who goes blind.
With Mark Singer.
With starring Mark Singer. M-A-R-C-S-I-N-G-E-R, just so you don't think there's a K in his name. Mm-hmm. Those of you who don't know who he is. And there's a sex scene where he's blind and the woman loves him and she loves him despite the fact that he's going blind and it's very sweet. And they have like a touching PG-rated sex scene.
It is network television.
It was HBO.
Right. Oh, it was HBO.
It was HBO. And I'm watching it, and my dad is kind of watching it with me. So it was the first experience, that awkward experience, where you watch a sex scene with one of your parents in the room.
Right.
And my parents weren't conservative Catholics, but they were like, you know, repressed conservative whatever. They used to hide the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when it came out. They would hide it the day it arrived.
Like, so why didn't they just throw it out? Why did they even have it if they're going to hide it?
Because my dad has a subscription to Sports Illustrated because he loves sports.
Right. What does that have to do with sports, though? Okay.
What do you mean?
Sports Illustrated. I mean, the swimsuit issue.
Well, if you subscribe to the magazine for a year, 1 week out of the year,
but I just love that he had
smut.
To hide that.
He had to hide it.
For himself. Like, what did your mother think?
Well, no. I think they hid it from me. I think they didn't want me drooling and masturbating over naked girls.
Okay, but I assume your mother got nothing from it, so maybe your dad was hiding it from your mother, too.
It's possible. You know, I never thought of it that way. That's better than 3 weeks of therapy.
Anyway,
he might have been hiding it from her, or he didn't want her to compare herself to the women in the magazine.
Right. I guess, yeah.
Or maybe he just wanted it all for himself.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
But
anyway.
Go ahead.
So write in and tell your history with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when you were a child, Action Room listeners. Call our hotline. So anyway, we're watching the sex scene in Mark Singer's If You Could See What I Hear, an HBO drama, and they start having sex, and you don't see nudity, but it's clearly sex. And because they're not married...
Sounds like my life, yeah.
They're boyfriend and girlfriend, but they're not married... Yeah. There's an uncomfortable moment as I watch the sex scene and my father is watching the sex scene. And my father, who has a very low voice, goes, And we watched the movie in silence the whole time. And at one point he was like, this is a really good movie. It's really touching and character. And during the sex scene, my father goes, you know what they're doing, Tony. He goes, you know what they're doing, Tony. It isn't right because they're not married. You know this isn't right. You know this is not how to behave as an adult.
Wow. And did that affect you?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I remember going, what, they're in love, they're boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, that's bullshit. But it was like that. And he didn't even say, because they're not married. It was unspoken, it was understood.
Right.
Just, you know that this isn't the right thing to do. They're not doing something right here. And that was all he said, and then we just went back to silence, awkward silence.
You know they're just about to take a shower. That's all they're doing. No, I remember a
You know they're just hugging under the covers.
I remember a Why are they gyrating? I remember a similar situation, which was seeing Terminator with my grandparents, and there is a love
scene.
Yes,
you've talked about this.
Also, I remember...
How do they react?
You know, it's one of those things, just grin and bear it. You don't
Mike,
really...
this is not right.
No, they didn't
what
say
they
anything.
Doing?
But I also remember, I think, watching Body Heat with my parents, and my parents covering my eyes with their hands during those.
Very sexy movie, apparently.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen it to this day.
I don't think I've seen it all the way through. Kathleen Turner?
Kathleen Turner, before she was a man. And
before she got fat.
What's the other one?
Someone else.
There were guys? Maybe, I don't know.
Some guy. Who cares about the guy? We care about the girl.
So anyway, I thought Comic-Con was really fun. I'm definitely going next year. I think it's going to be huge next year. There's going to be so many things coming out, like Tron, which we'll talk
Iron
about
Man
later. Iron Man 2. But anyway, it was really fun. There was a lot of cool people. But I do want to enjoy it next year because I felt like I was trying to do too much in a short amount of time.
And I feel I'm going to declare this on the radio. I think I'm going to go next year.
Woo!
Come hell or high water, come heck or high water, even if I'm in debt, even if I can't afford it, cancel that thought, I should go to Comic-Con in 2010. Tony Wolf!
And the thing is, we can get passes.
Yeah!
We can get press passes for the Action Room for the entire con.
Yes, and I actually know a girl who we met a couple years ago at a Comic-Con who said I could stay with her. You could stay with a friend. We could all stay with people.
So it's just a plane ticket. That's
we could
it.
All stay with people.
And we can eat cheap.
We can eat cheap, because we always eat cheap. I mean, I often eat cheap.
All right.
Cheap!
So is that Egg the Chicken
cheap,
coming back for a return?
Why'd you guys retire me? Cheap! Cheap! Go to like the second or third page of our YouTube videos, and you will see a video of a blob-type chicken toy called Egg the Chicken.
Which was our mascot for 2 seconds.
He was our mascot for 2 seconds.
We had such high...
high hopes for Egg the Chicken. He was going to run for president. Then he was going to run for vice president. Now he's governor of Alaska, replacing Sarah Palin.
I think he has a chance against Sarah Palin in 2012.
I think we can only hope that there are so many devoted Action Room fans that actually care about Action Room trivia.
Well, I think it was... who was the... Conan, or maybe it was Jimmy Fallon, talking about... how I think Sarah Palin's going to have a radio show, and how radio is the highest form of power for the Republican Party right now.
Whoa, that's kind of true.
It's pretty funny.
They have Rush Limbaugh and Sarah Palin.
I mean, who else are they rooting for in their party besides those two people? I think there's one other person that's suspect,
Bill Hannity or something.
Yeah,
Hannity.
Somebody like that. But anyway, so...
But the Republican Party now has a black chairman.
Oh.
So now it's black on black.
Ooh.
Black on black violence. He gets the talk against Obama.
Yeah, no, I'd like to see that. Now, Obama, he just had the thing, the sit-down. This is political, but he had the sit-down. But you
with the professor and the cop.
And the professor and Marianne. And
Gilligan.
And Joe Quesada. Okay. So,
were you going to say something about that?
I thought it was cool.
It must have been very awkward, though, but at least I hope there was no press. I hope it was like a closed door, three guys, talk normal.
Yeah.
But he can't really talk so normal because he's the president.
Right.
He can't talk totally off guard.
Maybe there are tapes. Do you think they record those things anyway?
I think they had a three-way gangbang.
Wow.
I saw rumors.
Wait, what kind of gangbang? It was like gang violence gangbang?
They role-played breaking into the White House liquor cabinet.
Okay. What were you saying? Were you saying something else? Because we're going to take a break.
Gangbang, White House liquor cabinet.
I don't know. All
right. Oh, there was a rumor in the Inquirer and the Star that Obama is really gay.
Right.
And that Michelle Obama is his beard, as they say.
Nice.
So call into our hotline if you feel that...
If you'd like to be our beards.
If you'd like to be our beards. There was also all the people who say he wasn't born in Hawaii. He was really born in
Which
Kenya.
Which recently that was found to
a
be
A lot
true.
Of Obama news.
Yeah.
So if you think he was gay and born in Kenya, call our hotline. We'll be right back after this. down.
Okay.
All right, that was Tony Wolf. Was beatbox,
amazing.
Fade in, fade out. I was the second beatbox. I was. I auditioned to replace the original beatbox
in the Fat Boys.
In the Fat Boys. And at
that
the
one
time,
died. He's the one that died.
Yes, at the time they said they weren't interested in skinny white guys who were then in seventh grade.
I think so. You started Skinny Boys, right? The
yes.
Skinny Boys.
Skinny Boys. Skinny Boys.
Back. Do you remember the Disorderlies?
No.
That movie that starred them as like Disorderlies in a hospital. Disorderlies.
No, wow.
Orderlies, but Disorderlies.
I recently heard some people at my office talking about Beat Street and Breakin'.
And Crush Groove.
And Breakin' 2 and Crush Groove. And I was like, this is awesome that people are still talking about these movies.
I hate to, but we have a little theme that's going to start about 1982. And all I want to say is that if you go to YouTube and you check out Times Square, you just type in Times Square 80s, there is some old footage of Times Square. And it is so cool because it goes into the old Playland arcade that was there back when
I remember.
You mean
the camera goes in?
Yeah, the camera goes in.
Whoa.
And it's old school. It's totally old school. And I just remember that it was an awesome arcade back in the day, and I'm old. And let's go right into the nerd. Let's go right into the nerd news.
All right.
Nerd news.
That's the nerd news, and I'm Tony Wolf, filling in for Jessica, who is returning from her Italy adventure. So tonight in nerd news, we have many things. The first story, which we will briefly talk about, because we don't really care too much about Twilight, but it is a phenomenon that is a big deal for many people. Many girls, old and young, 20s, 30s, teens, and sexually frustrated mothers. The third Twilight film is now being cast. It's called, we don't know what it's
Eclipse.
Called. Eclipse. Twilight, the second one is New Moon. The third is Eclipse. The fourth is called Metaphor for Menstruation. And the fifth will be called Blood Red New Moon. But anyway, there's an actress named Rachel or Rochelle Lefevre.
Fevre?
Brett Favre, for all you sports
right.
fans out there. Anyway, she played Victoria in the first two.
Whoever that
two.
Is.
Yeah, like a secondary hot girl in Twilight movies.
But she actually does look like who's going to replace her, Bryce Dallas Howard.
I don't think she looks much like Bryce Dallas
kind
Howard.
Kind of.
Anyway, we just spoiled the news. You probably already heard this, but the news is that she is being replaced by Bryce Dallas Howard.
A redhead.
Yeah, but Rochelle, I looked at pictures today. Bryce Dallas Howard has like bright, dark red hair. It's dark, but it's, like, bright. This other girl, Rochelle, has, like, strawberry blonde, lighter red hair, and her hair is curly, and,
but generally,
and Bryce Dallas Howard's hair is not curly.
But it's same type. I mean, type, you know?
This is the part of the show where we argue and we take contrary positions. They don't look a damn thing like each other, and one's hair is curly and one's hair isn't.
And the sad thing is our first fight has to do with a topic we know, we care and know
we
nothing
care
about.
Nothing about. And there was a rather amusing blog that producer Mike discovered, a blog called iWatchStuff.com. So check it out, www.iWatchStuff.com. You now owe us $10,000, iWatchStuff.com for the plug. And the writer of the blog, who we couldn't quite identify, but maybe named Mike, we're not sure, but he said, and I quote, "Thankfully, I still know next to nothing about the Twilight series, so who is or who isn't in it really has no bearing on my life. This is like finding out that the copy center girl at Staples won't be in today. Oh, Kathy's sick? Oh, man, who's going to unlock the case to get people their ink cartridges? What do I care?" So that's kind of how producer Mike and I feel.
Yeah, it's true.
Two attractive girls, both redheads. One lighter redhead, one darker redhead.
And I have
redhead.
To say, I'm all about Bryce Howard, Dallas Howard.
Bryce Howard, news.
It's just that the news Howard happens to Hughes. Be about something I care nothing about.
Well, she's good. I have trivia about her, by the way.
Oh, let's hear.
A friend of mine knew someone who is now a Broadway actress, and she did an off-Broadway show with Bryce Dallas Howard right when she was beginning to do stage. And Bryce Dallas Howard has a medical condition where her feet stink. They emit an awful, awful smell.
Wow.
She tries powders. She tries Dr. Scholl's. She tries all these things in her feet. It's some sort of weird medical condition.
I'm
she
shocked.
Can't get them to stop stinking.
Wow.
And so she apologized to the cast. She would say in the dressing room, "I'm so sorry. If you smell something weird, it's my feet. It's a medical condition."
That is pretty disgusting.
Da, 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 da. And my friend said anytime he sees her, no matter how beautiful she is or how good of an actress she is, all he can think of, having heard that story, is her stinky feet.
Sadly, I feel the same way now. Thanks for ruining it, Tony.
Yeah, but she's still gorgeous.
She's still gorgeous, and
I wouldn't kick her out of bed for stinky feet.
That, and I won't even believe that. You know, it's
what if I just pour cologne all over her feet before we have sex?
What if we just cut her feet off? You don't need her feet.
What if you just amputate her feet? She can have prosthetic feet. You don't need feet to be an actress.
Yeah.
All the shots are from the leg up or waist up.
And also, I assume, just like with
put
any,
her on a Segway.
When you first meet somebody, the thing you hate about them, you love, and vice versa. So you'll probably love her stinky feet by the
you'd
end of your relationship.
Yeah. There are foot fetishists out there, of which I am not one, but I'm sure there are. She has stinky feet. Go get her.
Yeah, they probably
go love. Get her, foot fetishists. And the problem was, they said it was a 10-day schedule conflict with Rachelle Lefevre's other movies she had scheduled. But really, they found out that Rachelle Lefevre did not have stinky feet. And I think there's something in the novels where the character is supposed to have stinky feet.
Did you know that vampires actually do have very stinky feet? that's something that...
That's a new wrinkle added to the vampire mythos.
It's actually an old wrinkle that wasn't used that much because it's kind of, you know...
That's why they don't like garlic, because garlic smells more powerful
exactly.
than
exactly.
their feet.
Yes.
So, moving on...
they actually put a reference of stinky feet in The Count in Sesame Street.
Really?
Two stinky feet.
Did he really?
No, I'm kidding.
That'd be awesome, though.
Anyway,
two stinky feet.
Now Tony's trying to try out for the Sesame Street.
That's
character,
right.
Which I do remember when they replaced Kermit when he died, when Brian Henson
yeah.
died. It just never sounded the same.
I know. And the same thing when Mel Blanc died.
Right, exactly.
And his son did Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck.
Close,
you,
but no cigar.
You were like, just fucking get out of the room, son of Mel
Blanc. As a child, you just kept...
Retire those characters.
Yeah, as a child, you just kept being reminded that Mel Blanc is rotting in a grave. That's all you would think of.
Likewise, Jim Henson. And that really no one should ever do those characters again.
Right.
So anyway, even if they're related to them.
Exactly.
What if there was someone, though, who did a better imitation than the son of the dead person?
Then I guess hire him. But I don't see anybody
fuck
having a closer...
Fuck the son of a dead person.
Fuck the son of a dead person.
I'm really a necrophiliac, and it's being revealed on the show. Fuck the son of a dead person. That's our new Action Room T-shirt.
Yeah. It's a new
fuck
expletive.
Fuck the son of a dead person. Didn't we have a T-shirt slogan we talked about months ago?
Oh, slick. Slick a cock.
Slick a cock.
Because it looks like suck. The
slick
L and the
cock.
I. So. Anyway.
The Action Room says... Fuck the son of a dead person.
We have great ideas for T-shirts.
Call in and tell us what you think our slogan should be on our 800 line. All right, also on the subject of vampires, which are now sweeping the nation, sweeping the world. Do you think that, like, Hollywood goes through a cycle where every 20 years vampires are cool?
Yeah, I think it's more natural, though.
Yeah.
It just kind of happens. And I think, like, when did the Twilight books, when were they written? That they became so big.
Maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You had Buffy in the 90s. Maybe it's every 10 years.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s you had Fright Night, Love at First Bite, Interview with a Vampire.
Lost Boys.
The 10-year vampire cycle.
Yeah.
And in the fashion and pop culture world, everything goes back to 20 years before.
Oh, okay. I think everything is speeding up, though, as we get older. The generations are getting smaller.
As we move towards 2012, everything speeds up. In the energetic vortex towards 2012.
Eventually, we won't have any, you know, idea of what time is anymore, and we'll just be hooked up to some machine.
It's actually 2014 right now. You
is
are
it?
Tuning in live. Oh, wait, sorry, it's 2015. That's how fast time
oh,
is.
Wait, it's 2020.
In the year 2525.
I was going to say, I wanted to go backwards. Did you notice...
There's a real song called In the Year 2525.
Did you notice that Conan does In the Year 3000 now?
In the year 3000!
I think that says it
he
all.
He changed it?
He skipped... That right
there...
It
used there, to be in the year 2000.
Well, the whole joke was in the year 2000, even years after 2000. And I think that is a perfect example of where he lost his edge. The fact that he had to go to 3000, that's not funny anymore.
In the year 3000!
But he had to appease the Leno audience.
Now I'm trying out to replace the guy who does that.
Right, right, right.
Now, actually, I will point out another corollary to that.
We're never going
to
get to the next news item.
We are never getting to that news story. And that is my goal. 20th Century Fox eventually changed its name to Fox 2000.
Right.
And now, did they go back to 20th Century Fox?
It's kind of retarded, but yeah.
No, are they 21st Century Fox?
I think they're 20th, but the truth is, it's like, why not? They are 20th Century Fox. That's still the name. Why do they have to change?
They should become 22nd Century Fox.
Yeah, go ahead of it, or 200th Century.
And there's that Jim Morrison Doors song, she's a 20th Century Fox.
All right.
Now I'm auditioning to replace you.
You're doing a lot of auditioning today. All right. Should I move on? Because it doesn't seem like you're ever
going to... No, I'm going to take us there. I'm going to take us there. My girlfriend was very happy to hear this because everyone loves this actor.
Okay.
Johnny Depp.
Who also did a surprise appearance at Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland panel on Thursday at the Comic-Con.
I heard he didn't say much. He just showed up. The place went wild. He grinned abashedly and walked off stage.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
You just tease him with Johnny Depp. Anyway, every girl loves and wants Johnny Depp. That is a universal rule. So, Johnny Depp is about to be cast as a sexy vampire. So that's like double the sexiness. He's not only Johnny Depp, but he's going to be a vampire.
And I just realized...
So that means more girls than ever...
In what?
...will be screaming and act like 12-year-olds.
Yeah, in what?
Oh, it's going to be in a movie also directed by Tim Burton. Those two just can't
get enough.
You haven't
said the title. It's called Dark Shadows. Dark Shadows.
Dark
from
Shadows
from the old series.
Is a 1960s black and white vampire drama, which was then remade by NBC in the 90s.
Right. Now, here's the deal. Is Tim Burton only going to be remaking things now? Is that like the way it is
Do you
now?
Consider Alice in Wonderland a remake?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a remake.
Well, I mean...
It's a classic poem.
But I'm just saying... Well, yeah, but there's been a million versions.
But you're right.
Versions.
He did Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
He did Sweeney Todd. He did
Suck My Big Fat Cock.
Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't do Suck My Big Fat Cock.
Alice in Wonderland and now Dark Shadows. I just feel like there's a running theme. And, of course, he needs Johnny Depp and everything, which is fine. But I feel like he should go back to his own original stuff, you know? This is probably making him more money.
Maybe
but
he's out of ideas.
I highly
Maybe
doubt
he
that.
Wakes up at night crying, screaming... He did write some children's books, which he wrote and illustrated.
Right. By the way...
Which look like Edward Gorey books.
They were making a joke at the Kevin Smith panel about how they're going to be doing a movie based on... Oh, it was something ridiculous. Like, I can't remember now, but it was something like a board game. Like, you know, Chutes and Ladders or something ridiculous.
Right.
But it was even more inane than that. And they did, and Kevin Smith did the joke, I'm going to do the Hungry Hungry Hippo movie, which I think you've referenced.
Yes, which Patton Oswalt first made.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I just referenced it because of that.
But anyway, so moving right along because that's
exciting. Okay, so Dark Shadows.
Whatever, I don't know the series. So
it's a good like romantic soap opera vampire drama.
But what I'm really excited about.
Oh, I know what you're excited about.
And now we're going back to the theme of 1982, which Tron originally came out in. Is the
Everything
new
happened in 1982.
Tron movie, Tron Legacy. The fucking trailer looks amazing.
Yes, and it is a true sequel to Tron. It takes place 15 years later or 25 years later.
Coming out in 2011.
So Jeff Bridges is now old, like he is.
But
and his son is all Tron'd up.
I'm excited. I'm so excited because, you know, the question was, you know, when Disney first came out with this, for any of you kids who don't know, it was the first attempt at doing CG in a movie, you know? Now, the old CG, there were different eras of CG. There were kind of like the early 80s CG stuff, which was kind of The Last Starfighter and, what was it, Tron.
Right.
And there was a look to it. It was very flat, you know? Then there was the second era of 3D, which was Lawnmower Man type stuff, which also kind of referenced the Tron style, which was the 90s stuff that didn't quite, it wasn't good enough to be real, used in real life and stuff. Then came the Titanic, Jurassic Park era, which is kind of more our modern era,
which was
when you could actually create actual things that live action characters
could interact
with. So, but back then, it was a style, I think Tron hasn't been duplicated.
Tron was very groundbreaking.
Just as far as the fluorescent outfits they had and stuff like this. And I was like, how are they going to do this? But I actually think they did a really good job at doing a modern version of it.
It honors the look of it, but it's better. It's more modern.
I can't say it's better. It's different, and I agree
with it. It's
sharper
somehow.
Yeah, it's very slick.
I hope David Warner's not coming back to play the evil master program.
He's not?
I don't think
so. Oh, that sucks. I love him.
I haven't heard his name. I love David. David Warner's so awesome.
Time Bandits.
Everything. David Warner did everything.
Yeah. And what was the, but speaking of Tron, I hope they have like a very synthy 80s soundtrack.
Vangelis. Yeah. Right. And speaking of Vangelis, we'll do these things out of order here, but you can't see the order, so who cares?
Right.
There's a Blade Runner screening for those of you who are in New York City.
Another movie from 1982.
And didn't E.T. or one of these fucking Spielberg
movies,
E.T.
was 81,
Poltergeist?
Actually. But you might be right.
Some major Spielberg.
82 was a big one. Poltergeist, I think.
Spoltergeist!
It's like the spoiling. Spoiled.
You have some Spoltergeist for me!
Well, that's actually like Troma.
Yeah.
The company, they did a poultry...
Poultrygeist. About a possessed chicken.
Something like that, yeah.
I remember posters for that.
All right, but anyway, Blade Runner is going to be...
Blade Runner screening at the Museum of Modern Art, August 19th and 20th.
I am going.
MoMA.
Are you going, Tony?
I think I should go.
I'm definitely going.
I love that movie.
No matter what print or version it is, I want to see
Blade Runner. Will it have the voiceover or will it not? We can fight about that.
And now speaking of another 1982 movie.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
What is it with 1982? It's like there's a Ouija board connected to 1982 in our studio. What? The Ouija board is moving. It's saying...
My next girlfriend will be born in 1982.
Oh, no. Anyway, the movie... who talks like this? Larry King. The movie is The Secret of Nim. The year was 1982. This doesn't sound like Larry King, but he introduces shit like this.
The director, Don Bluth.
The director, Don Bluth, known for being a maverick and making lots of cartoony animal characters.
Yeah, now, let me just say a little bit about Don
Bluth. That have big noses.
He's one of my biggest influences as far as, like, animation and art.
Yes, producer Mike loves Don Bluth.
He was one of the only people doing Disney-like animations that wasn't Disney. Yes. But he used to work at Disney. He, like, the Black Cauldron, he worked on and stuff, and then he went on his own. And
wasn't there a story that he got fired from Disney
because
he made
so.
A cock joke in
Could
front
be.
Of the president of Disney? Or
That'd
he
be an
drew
awesome
a
story.
Penis or something, yeah.
Well,
a little irreverent, Don Bluth.
So he went on to make some of the best stuff as far as, you know, An American Tale and Land Before Time and stuff like this. Now, the things I remember him for, Secret of Nim, of course. I also love the Dragon's Lair arcade game that he did.
Yes, yes.
And he later on did stuff like Titan AE where he integrated CG, and I didn't care for it too much. And
He didn't do Fire and Ice? Who's all that?
No, that's all Ralph Bakshi.
I sometimes confuse my Don Bluth and my Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in therapy, actually.
Don Bluth,
help me.
Don Bluth has a way more Disney style to him, you know?
Bakshi is much more cutting edge.
Like raw... And just kind of, you know, like Fire and Ice is all rotoscopy.
I was about to say rotoscope.
Frank Frazetta. Okay, but anyway, the
like
news
Ralph
is...
Ralph Bakshi did the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, right. Exactly. The news, though, about Secret of Nim.
Oh, someone's going to remake Secret
of
Nim.
Wow, what a shock.
This is the year of remakes. Are there no good ideas that aren't written by Diablo Cody?
Yeah, Diablo Cody's going to do
the remake.
Is
Hollywood hiring any new fucking... You know.
The thing that's exciting is, yes, there are a lot of remakes. There's a lot of good original stuff, though, too, coming out. It's just they happen to be doing the remakes, too. And Neil Berger, who did The Illusionist, is going to be doing it. And it's supposedly...
Is it going to be live action and animated?
It's a mix, like kind of Alvin and the Chipmunks are saying, which I hate that look, that style where they make like a live chipmunk. It just looks so disturbing looking, and it's not cute. It's not cute.
Mike has nightmares.
Classic, the way, or G-Force is another one. Not like Battle of the Planets G-Force, the hamster G-Force.
Yes.
Or not hamster, what is it?
They're hamsters.
They're guinea pigs.
They're guinea pigs.
But,
so don't write in and correct us. We just corrected ourselves. all you thousands of listeners.
But Secret of Nim is a classic, and the truth is, if they remake it, it doesn't even matter because it'll never touch the original.
Kind of freaks me out. Do you remember what Nim stands for? We shouldn't spoil it for people, I guess.
I actually don't remember. What's Nim?
Secret of Nim. The rats are the mice and the rats. They're escaped from a lab, and they know Nim. It's kind of like
Mrs. Brisby.
Well, there's something about
They said it. Okay.
Well, they find a book that they base their whole society around, and it says Nim on it, and that's the lab where the rats came from.
Oh, okay.
And then you find out that Nim stands for a real life organization, the National Institute for Mental Health.
Wow.
And they were like lab rats for like psychiatric drugs and
shit. Oh, that's awesome. Is that in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
National Institute of Mental Health is what NIM stands for.
Oh, okay. I got to see it again. I only saw it as a kid.
And it's weird. Also, if any of you science fiction geeks out there remember an old Sean Connery film that's very weird called Zardoz?
Vaguely.
Zardoz. And a whole culture gets based around this godlike entity called Zardoz. And it's a totally 60s psychedelic trippy movie. It's so weird. It's so trippy. It's like Planet of the Apes on acid.
Was this
okay?
The same week you saw If You Can See What I Hear? Or
no, no, no. And Sean
Mark
Connery's
Singer.
In it.
Yeah.
And it's called Zardoz. And at one point, they were like discouraging reproduction among men and women. It's almost like a Logan's Run type weird future fucked up thing.
Right, right.
And there's this booming voice that goes, penises are evil. Penises are evil. And then at the end of the movie, you find out, sort of like Secret of NIMH, sort of like the Statue of Liberty at the end of Planet of the Apes, you find out that Zardoz, they base their whole culture off a tattered copy of The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
And the only letters that are legible are Zard and Oz, and the of is like
that's
obscured.
Hysterical.
So the movie is called Zardoz.
I think there's a... There's
go
a,
Netflix it now.
A lesbian community that uses that as their motto.
Zardoz?
Penises are
penises
evil.
Penises are evil. My friend Jason always loves to reference the fact that Zardoz, he was just like, what the fuck is this? Penises
now,
are evil.
Now, that I'd never heard of that film before, but it sounds pretty awful. What is said
it's in the era of, like, Soylent Green, Logan's
right,
Run.
Right. But what's said to be the worst film ever made is a film called The Room.
A modern film, which was made in 2002.
2003.
Okay.
Now
The Room.
Now, I heard about it. My friend told me about it. We played clips of it on YouTube. We watched them and stuff. Hysterical. And I always wanted to... I never
because
saw
it. Because it's so bad.
So bad. But now it's getting a lot of press for being known, hailed as the worst film ever made.
And
now,
people have parties.
Yeah, now it's going to... Now, there are screenings that are going to be at the Village East Cinema. There's screenings all over. You should check their
the
website.
Village East Cinema in New York City.
In New York City. I'm going to see it tonight when this airs.
Oh, you are going to see it?
Yeah. Friday, right. I'm going to try anyway, the midnight showing. And then there's also, which is July 31st, Friday. And then there's one August 29th on Saturday night at midnight. So check that out if you can.
They basically do it, I read, the final Fridays of every month. With the exception, I guess, of Saturday, August 29th.
It's a modern, it's our generation's Rocky Horror, I guess, you know, because people throw things at the
people
screen.
People respond, yeah. They have things that they yell.
And basically, I mean, it's this, I guess it's this, I don't know what he is. Like, I didn't look into Swedish or
the same
guy
wrote, directed it, and starred
in
it.
He's the worst actor in the world. And wow. It's just, it's so hysterical. I mean, any clip I've seen, it's just like, and he did not try to do this on purpose. He didn't want it to be funny.
Yeah.
But it's a drama, you know, a love story. But people obviously looked at it as humorous and stuff. Now, my question to you is this, because I was thinking about this guy and, you know, thinking that he was
I can tell you because I just read an interview with him. So ask
your
question.
Oh, yeah, please tell me.
Well, ask your question first.
The whole idea that he obviously made a film with a certain, you know, message behind it and kind of intention, and then people misunderstanding it and it being well known and him getting a lot of, you know, notoriety based on a total misconception about the film. Now,
well, I wouldn't say misconception. I would say opinion, namely that it's bad.
Right. But I'm just saying it's now, you know, now he's kind of removed from it. It's been years since he did it. He probably doesn't care so much. And what I heard was that he says that he made it for the people, not so much himself or whatever. But the thing is, if you did something and people totally misunderstood it and told
well, misunderstood you, or mocked, there's two very different things. Misinterpreting something
that's
and
true.
Liking
that's
it
true.
Is different than mocking it.
Even more so to the point. If they mocked it, but you got famous based off of them, and then on top of that, because I hear there's sequels for The Room.
What?
Ideas for sequels. Now, you, what would you do? What would the mentality be? And what is the mentality? What is his name? Do you know
no
the guy's
idea.
Name?
No idea.
The director's name, I'm thinking... Now, does he have to make a bad film on purpose? Does he continue to make just a
does
film
he
the way
try to make a good
yeah,
movie
like,
again?
And I just don't get that mentality. Like, I thought about that, and I was just like, how would I recapture what people didn't understand in the first place?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. But anyway, what did you
well,
read about
well, you keep
him?
Saying didn't understand, but I mean, that's very different.
Well, what do you want to call it? I mean, it
didn't like.
Well, they like it, but just for all the wrong reasons. That's why I say it's a misunderstanding. It's,
well,
it's,
I mean...
They're misconstruing the original
but
theme.
But it's different like, to, like, make a movie and you think it's about one thing, like a legitimate topic, and other people say, oh, no, it's not about man's inhumanity to man.
Fair enough, fair enough.
It's about some other neutrally, no judgment, just a topic difference.
Right.
A topic misunderstanding.
But then again, they're saying...
It's different to be like, I think this is good and you think this is bad.
Right, but they're saying this is not a drama, this is a comedy to us. So
right,
what,
but they know that it was supposed. I think part of the comedy is that it's supposed to be serious.
Well, then
and
I don't
it
know.
Fails.
What, I don't know what to call that then. But whatever that is, what would you do in that situation? Would you go with it, or would you fight what isn't understood, or whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. I don't know what I do. I hope I never have to be so mocked in that sense.
Yeah, if you were an actor and you did a performance where you were trying to be serious, and they were like, "That was the funniest performance I've ever seen," what would you say?
I don't know. I guess
sucks.
I would try to roll with it.
Because they would say, "And I want to cast you in another film, and I want you to be just like that."
Well, you know, my response might be somewhat similar to the guy. The guy himself, he was a little bit cryptic. But in Time Out New York, I happened to be reading last week, he was interviewed, and he basically said kind of neutral things. He basically said, hey, if people are enjoying it, even if it's maybe for a different reason or a different way than I intended, all that matters is that people are enjoying it, and I say, go for it. If something I created gives people pleasure...
I tend to think
go for it, and he's starting to make some money off it now.
Oh yeah, yeah,
which he never did before.
I tend to think that,
and he viewed it as a very sort of like empirical business thing. Like, well, hell, I am now making money off this investment, off this thing that I created, so that's a good thing. And hell, if I'm making money and people are liking it, he didn't say I'm happy, but he was like, hey, if people are enjoying it and I'm making money, that's all good.
And if this gives him a career in Hollywood, I mean, I tend
to... Well, he didn't... I don't think anywhere in the interview did he talk about his future plans, but...
Right, but I think this will help, not hurt, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I just think that... he did put his money into it. It was like $6 million or something.
What?
I think so, yeah.
$6 million to make a movie with, like, people sitting around in a house?
Look, man, who knows?
Are you supposed to make that? Be able to make that shit for, like, $900 now?
Maybe nowadays, but who knows?
Back in 2003,
he doesn't maybe seem like the brightest guy in the world, but who knows?
Like those mumblecore films,
right,
you
exactly.
know, made like for $100.
But I think I'd
like
actually
the action room. What?
But I think I agree. I think I would go with that. I would go with the flow and just be like, well, you know, let's go with it. If the people don't get it or whatever, but I would like to see some more movies by him. But I will be checking out The Room, telling you guys about it. Village East Cinema in New York, 181-189, whatever that means, Second Avenue. And
just Google Village East Cinema.
And anyway,
isn't that where we saw, that might have been where we saw the Bob Dylan movie, Don't Look Back?
Oh, I think you're right.
Not Don't Look Back.
Right.
It was called Don't Look Back.
I'm getting confused with that place in the Forum. Or the.
I get confused by them because they're these weird, tiny little
indie
theaters
places,
that are like tucked away in weird areas that you don't go to unless you have reason to go to that theater.
Right.
There's also the Quad.
Right, now we're really alienating the rest of the...
Everyone in the other 49 states or who doesn't live in New York City just...
This is worldwide, Tony.
The Action Room is being heard by someone in Yugoslavia right now. And with that, I will say, Guten Morgen to Yugoslavia. And I will say, Dos Vidanya. And I will say...
And check out hickey-chick.com.
Yes.
And we will see you next week. Jessica will be back. And... That's
Jessica will be back. So rock on, action fans. Have a great week. And don't cry about the actress getting replaced in Twilight, because you'll still have
someone. In Twilight. Twilight.
Twilight. Twilight.
I'm going to call Twilight Twilight from now on.
I wonder if there are people making the gross joke like twatlet or something.
Twilight. No, only you, Tony.
Only me. And my mind usually doesn't go there. I just felt like, you know, it's radio. You got to be gross.
I think you're just trying to come up with an ending for the show.
Twatlet.
Going horribly wrong. Okay.
Going horribly wrong. All right.
Well, give me a real ending. I mean,
I said it's going horribly wrong. Okay.
That's
it's going horribly wrong. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to the show, and tune in next year when both producer Mike and Tony Wolf go to the Comic-Con. Mark that on your calendars, bitches.
But tune in next week for a new episode.
Yeah, that too. Peace out.